Blog Talk Radio.
Got a jail for less than you.
Jail's no fun, I tell you that much.
Where you been?
Once. In Monopoly.
Shut up and take my money!
It's a sparkle kid.
Hello, you people! Today is Tuesday, February 20, 2018, and you are making the list. I'm your host, Pat McNeil. This is episode 5 of Making the List, and today we will decide on the top 7 omissions to the WWE Hall of Fame. Should be interesting. Our telephone number, 515-605-9345. The email address is pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Our PWTorch Live chat room is open, and of course you can send in your Twitter questions to RealPatMcNeil. And now let's hear a word or two about today's guest. Hit it.
To introduce our guest star, that's what it's time to do. So it really makes me happy to introduce to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's one thing that AJ Styles, the Young Bucks, Devon Dudley, and Johnny Fairplay all have in common. They all have the same incredible super agent, Mr. Bill Behrens. And how are you, Bill?
I am doing well. Oh, less Johnny Fairplay lately. He's been on his own, doing his own thing. But yeah, the other guys. But yeah,
okay, well,
I still list Johnny Fairplay because why not? I mean, if you list the big stars, you just go for it.
That's true. Well, and there are lots of other big stars that I didn't mention that you also represent.
Yeah, there's a nice group of people. It's really nice. And I'm working with some really nice young people right now, you know, some new, the up-and-comers, which, you know, allows me to pretend I'm staying young.
That's what I do, too. It works for me. I got you.
Trust me, I'm learning a lot about what goes on a telephone that I never knew before.
I know. It's amazing what they do with telephones now.
Yes.
A little bit scary. Okay, so we are discussing today the top 7 people who have, or groups who have not made it into the WWE Hall of Fame, who deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, and we're going to rank them from 1 to 7. If you want to join the argument clinic here, it is 515-605-9345, but the basic way that this works is I toss out a name, you toss out a name, and once we get a few names up, we'll start ranking them. Does that sound fair, Bill?
Works for me.
Okay.
You go first. It's your show.
Well, thank you. I was going to go with somebody whose name is, many people think is already in the WWE Hall of Fame, and that's Ivan Koloff, former WWF champion. Was around for a long, long time, passed away last year. I got to meet him back at WrestleCade about 5 years ago. As a draw, you know, as a worker, okay, he's Ivan Koloff. As a draw, as somebody who is just, a symbol of a certain type of professional wrestling heel, I'm just amazed he's not on there, so I'm going to put him on. I'm going to put him down. Okay.
Wow, and I don't even have a good argument against him, which is, you know, because,
good.
You know, in terms of WWF history, he has tremendous space. You know, it may have been, you know, maybe a limited spot, but he is literally a big part of history in terms of the title change. So, you know, there's no way to deny him and his stuff. You know, I think whatever, in my eyes, when we talk about the Hall of Fame for WWE, we have to also recognize that it transcends the traditional definition of WWE. It's not just what was done there. It's what was done everywhere at some level, because there's very little that doesn't touch the fingerprint of WWE right now.
Yes.
So pretty much anybody's in play, and so Koloff was obviously, you know, very, very, very valuable at that, you know, for WWF. And at the same time was extremely, good for the NWA for a period of time.
Yes, definitely.
So I would include him. I'm going to cheat.
Okay.
Mine's going to be a hyphenate, because you could go either way on this, because one hasn't happened and the other one could, which is a lot of people are sympathetic would sympathetically go Owen Hart, which I would agree. And you could hyphenate that by bringing him in with the Hart Foundation.
Right. And that is something that Bret Hart has talked about. And, I mean, if you're going in with the 1997 Hart Foundation, that would also pull in Davey Boy Smith and, and Brian Pillman, I guess.
Yeah, at some level, But very much so. And honestly, it depends on, because there is that category. There is the tag team, you know, group category that transcends the individual. So if you're having trouble considering putting the one guy in, you know, say Owen Hart, there's a way to get in, and various other people that may not be in. There's a way to sort of get that started. And, you know, and a lot of guys came in that way. You know, the Von Erichs all came in that way.
No, and I understand that. I mean, I know the argument against Owen Hart is his wife doesn't want him in there, and if she did, I'm sure this would have happened already. So, I mean, but
But again, if you do it as part of a greater group,
she doesn't have to be there.
Not the focus of that, and maybe that softens it. If it's more family than it is individual, it makes it harder to resist the temptation to allow his accomplishments to be rewarded, regardless of how he died.
Right. Okay. Those are good arguments. All right. 515-615-9345 if you want in. pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. And, of course, the various other ways you can reach us. There's another one. I know I wrote this as an article several years ago about who's left out that, you know, you wouldn't want to see left out. And I know the reason why this one is taking place. That, you know, King Kong Bundy headlined WrestleMania 2. Headlining a WrestleMania is usually enough to get in there. I mean, I'm not talking about the people who obviously haven't retired or who are going in as soon as they get an opportunity. I'm talking about, you know, names from the past, names from the rock and wrestling era, and Bundy was all over it. He's difficult to deal with, and I understand why that would give them pause. But, you know, he's a name that, again, people would be surprised isn't already in there.
I would agree. Again, no great argument. And he also, again, he transcends because he got over first, probably in world class, because he had hair, and then he didn't there with Fritz. And then he got called up. And at the time, he was part of inevitably what became what got Hulk Hogan over, which were giants that the giant could beat, which he needed.
Right.
You know, because inevitably it got to Andre. But it went through a lot of guys, and Bundy was one of those guys.
Yes, very much so. All right, so I am willing to listen. Let's hear what you have next.
I'll go off the chart a little bit and just sympathetically, because I was blessed to work with him, but Lance Russell.
Ah, okay. That is definitely...
I think that's in terms of the greater position of WWE as they look at the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I mean, almost no one argues there's a triad of greatness in wrestling announcing, and it's, in any order, Gordon Solie, Jim Ross, Lance Russell.
And the other two are already...
And the other two already have the spot.
Okay. Yeah.
I think.
No, that's a great argument. We're gonna have this list stacked up pretty quickly, I think, and then... Yeah, and then who knows? Let's see. Another one that I consider kind of an obvious one. The focus on the women's division has been, you know, we're going to find a woman who we can portray as a trailblazer, as, you know, somebody who was part of an important part of history. I would argue that, and I mean, this is because I did get the chance to work with her, I would argue that Leilani Kai is a trailblazer. Worked women's title match at WrestleMania 1, women's title match at WrestleMania 10, you know, former NWA women's champion, created the tag team titles to help get the Jumping Bomb Angels over in the U.S. It's another person that can be, you know, she could be honored without resorting to, you know, I think it's a bigger deal to put her in than to put in, say, Cyndi Lauper or, you know, somebody else who's on the fringes of this. Well, I mean, China, there's an argument to be made for China. I'm not sure that I'm the one to make it, but But yeah, I mean,
well,
Leilani Kai.
The valid argument, your argument for Leilani Kai is awesome because she was, I mean, her part of history can't be denied. I mean, and clearly she was in a transition period for what the company was and what it became. It went from being female wrestlers to divas. And she was there at the beginning to establish the credibility of the wrestling side, which went away for a while and they got reestablished again recently. She's a key part in the you know, I think, evolution of that entire division. China cannot be denied in that she was the only true personality that during the time she was there was able to compete on a level with everybody, credibly.
Right.
And if you discount what she did afterward, it would also discount an awful lot of people that have been honored at a much greater level. Because there's a lot of people have screwed up at high level that have been honored. So her screw ups aren't necessarily the worst they've ever been.
No, they're not.
Bad,
and
there's worse.
It's a lot easier to forgive people after the fact too. At this point,
I have no argument at all. I guess maybe throw in China simply because she should be thrown into any argument at this point. So I guess that's mine. I'll counter your girl with that girl.
Okay. It's that girl. Yes, exactly. All right. Another group that, I mean, they're WWF. It's WWF if anybody's WWF, and that would be Demolition, Bill Eady, Barry Darso, Axe and Smash. The second longest reigning tag team in WWE, WWF history. I know that there were a lot of issues. You know, there was a lawsuit. There's some bad feelings, I think, on both sides. But if you can smooth over bad feelings with Jeff Jarrett and Bruno, and and the Ultimate Warrior,
Down the list: Ultimate Warrior, and keep going.
I think Demolition could be brought in. They were much more, I mean, they were much more a part of WWE than the Road Warriors were.
Yeah, and they have a lot of moving pieces too, because they were the first two, and then it sort of, you know, then it expanded. But then what I want to know is, do you then do the hybrid, which was part of Demolition at some minor level, which were the Machines, because there were all the Machines at one point, of which Demolition was part at one brief period. Yeah.
Well, you could, because the other members of the Machines are already in the Hall of Fame for other purposes. So,
I believe at one point or another, everyone was a Machine.
That's true. Well, I understand that.
Yeah.
But
all right. Well, if you're doing that, and that's an expensive faction, the easy to do faction, if they want to just draw money for one of these, and it's probably not this one, is just to do the Click as a group.
Yeah.
And he goes, you can do that at any time and define it as a separate entity simply because it was during that history. And it's all stars. So, you know, it's redundant. But at the same time, if you're trying to just put sizzle on the steak of a Hall of Fame, you could always throw that in.
It also gets Sean Waltman and possibly P.J. Walker into the Hall of Fame, too. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's various other things. So.
We've
been a good group so far. I've got some oddball ones. Do you want an oddball one?
I would love an oddball one.
There's actually three. I'm going to put them all together because they're all polarizing. And at some level, they all still deserve the spot. So these are my three polarizing choices. In no particular order. The first, Kevin Dunn.
Okay. That's
the second. And we'll go through why they're both polarizing and good choices in a second. The second, Vince Russo. And the third, Jim Cornette.
Okay.
Those are all three polarizing for a variety of reasons.
Yes, they are. So you would induct them as a group? That would be quite the induction.
I have no idea. The most polarizing, you know, that group. And I don't know, of them all, I think Kevin Dunn would think he deserves it, but not be sure what to do. Cornette would be totally conflicted and want to rail out against it, yet be honored. And Vince Russo would think he deserved it for a long time.
Well, that's true. So would you have them give the induction speeches for each other? Because I'd pay to see that.
Actually, you'd have to Kevin Dunn in between Jim Cornette and Vince Russo. And the reality is Cornette would end up hitting Dunn to get to Russo. So
that's true.
It would be.
You could put. You can put all three of them up on stage in like chicken wire cages, like we're in the like in the Blues Brothers movie.
Yes. Okay. So that's my nonsense choice because for a variety of reasons, I don't see them happening anytime soon. But you could create an argument for any of them. My real out of the box choice is Bill Apter.
Okay. It's mostly outside of the box because I it's not as unlikely as it would have been, I think, because. I mean, WWF, WWE used to pretend that the Apter mags didn't exist, and I don't think they care that much right now.
Yeah, well, to a great extent, even though because they were launching their own publications at the time and competing against, if not for the Apter mags in the beginning of our industry, literally, there was no internet, there was no true mechanism to get to fans other than whatever television was in your market, and whatever you get on a newsstand. It's all there was.
Right.
And a lot of us, and for sure me, so I'm old, but I'm sure a generation or two beyond me, didn't know about a lot of people until they saw the magazines. I know I discovered Sean Waltman for the first time in a magazine.
Okay. Well, there you have it. All right, we are due to take a short time out. When we come back, we will have more discussion and debate and hopefully some of your calls at 515-605-9345. Don't touch that dial.
So for a tasty treat that's good to eat, try Soylent Green. Soylent Green is people. Soylent Green, made from the best stuff on earth.
Rich Van, formerly of the Primetime Friday Laughcast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Van. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes. Places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week, if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here, because Saturday nights on the livecast are officially all right for diving.
Okay, you have stumbled into Making the List here on PW Torch Livecast. I am Pat McNeil, Torch columnist for 17 years, and in no way is that depressing. Bill Behrens is here. He is the former president of the National Wrestling Alliance and is currently a super agent representing a wide variety of wrestling talents. You can go to sbibookings.com to find out more. How'd I do on that, Bill?
Did very well, thank you.
Okay, and we are discussing the top seven omissions from the WWE Hall of Fame. And I think we're at about 15 and counting, so 515-605-9345 is the way to reach us. Let's see. Okay, you were talking about Bill Apter.
I can throw one more in. You want one more?
Absolutely.
Brother Love, Bruce Pritchard.
Oh, my goodness.
Again, maybe polarizing, but there was a period of time where he was extremely relevant.
Okay, well, that's true.
You have to wonder what is going through his mind.
Thank you. Soundboard Vince McMahon, ladies and gentlemen. But, Brother Love, Bruce Pritchard. Okay.
And creatively, he was involved for a long time, and you get to hear about it all the time on his podcast. So
that's true.
You've got all that going for you.
That's value added, yes.
Yes.
Okay, I'd probably appreciate that. Okay, another name on the list who is not, and Bill, I'm going to go off on a bit of a sidebar, but one of the things that I'm glad WWE did a couple years ago is they started their, I guess you'd call it the Veterans Committee, where they can just go and insert like 8 to 10 names at a time from history without worrying about, you know, whether they're going to, how to get them or their families up on stage to give a speech.
Right.
And I think that some of these will obviously go in this way. The name that I have right now is the guy who was the transition champion between Lou Thesz and Dory Funk, and that would be Gene Kaniski. And he was the heel touring NWA champion in the late 60s.
Yeah, man, and dominant for a period of time. From what I understand, he wasn't always easy to work with, which is why he had a short transition. But
oh, yeah.
Regardless, yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, when I really started following that part of it, other than what I was seeing in Florida at the time, which was primarily inevitably Dory and Jack, that was the thing that was sort of in the middle of that we didn't see a lot of, but you knew about, because they always put over the one thing that was great about the TV back in the day is you didn't know a lot, but the NWA members kept you apprised of the champions. They made that relevant. So
yes,
because they never knew when that guy was coming in. So you always knew what was going on. You always knew how it happened, or at least the story that they were telling. And that became the one continuity that you'd find. Cause I had that when I moved from Florida to Georgia, the continuity was there. There was also, you know, some bleed through on talent, because in Florida I had Johnny Walker, and all of a sudden in Georgia I had Mr. Wrestling too.
Yeah. It's definitely a different era, and one that, I mean, I shouldn't have to say this, but the one that we're never going to go back to, I don't think.
No, you can't. What got over back in the day, while valid, won't get over right now, because our patience level isn't there and it's not as real as it used to be.
That's true.
In the presence of all the reality that exists in fighting right now, you can't, you know, the first match I ever saw was Johnny Valentine beating the crap out of somebody. And A, he did, and yeah. B, it was very real. And that got over the whole concept to me as a kid. And that can still happen, but it's much different now. You've got an entertainment, and particularly with young people, it's what the Bucks are doing. It's what you've got to find a way to be relevant within the soundbite now, as much as within the totality of a match or character development. The smaller pieces and faster has become the way, and the only thing that hopefully the industry will resist is slapping their leg. I mean, but at this point.
Yeah.
It's a totally different, it's a night and day. Whenever an old-timer says they reminisce fondly on the past, I say, yes, when men wrestled bears.
That's right. And they walked to, yeah, that was a different era. And the men wrestling a bear has been immortalized, I think, in the Will Ferrell film Semi-Pro, which is...
Yes.
Which is, yeah.
And inevitably you felt for the bear, so...
Yes, inevitably. All right. Next up on our list. Oh, geez. This is tough. You hate to say it, but at some point, Sid Udy, Psycho Sid Vicious, is going to be in there.
Honestly, not a bad not a bad choice at all. There's a lot of justification for that. Admittedly, again, it at some level he became difficult. And was difficult before, but he was drawing money being difficult, and then he became difficult just because.
Right.
And I worked with the latter of that more than the former by the time I was interacting with him, because I really didn't that much at USWA, but then I was able to experience him on an Australia tour one time that I did with WWA before TNA started. And that was an interesting time. And he's got a reputation that, you know, is undeniable that... If he's booked, it's a 50-50 chance that he's going to be there, and his limitations there. But at the same time, weirdly, he has a strange moment in WCW history because of a spot he should never have done, which will go down in history.
Yeah.
And he had a decent heel run, a strong one in WWE or WWF at the time he was there. I mean, no one can deny that he wasn't strong in the time he was there.
Oh, yeah, he was booked very strong, in fact. I think we can all agree on that. Okay,
Didn't he get over first in a Royal Rumble, a Battle Royal? Wasn't that his first spot? I don't remember for sure, but
really,
I think
89
with the skyscrapers opening thing, huh?
Yeah, I think in 89 with the skyscrapers is when he got over.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I know we're going
to
touch on this at one point.
Hard to find somebody to take the heat, by the way.
Yeah, that's they keep getting guys injured too, but
see
much.
You're taking the heat. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they didn't take a lot of heat.
Exactly.
That was their secret.
There you go.
Okay. I knew we were going to talk about this at one point or another. You've known Jeff Jarrett for a long time, and even though it seemed like an impossibility at one point or another, Jeff Jarrett is going into the WWE Hall of Fame coming up WrestleMania weekend. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I have a ton of history with the Jarrett family in general. My actual involvement in wrestling, other than being TV boy for a lot of years and working with different promotions, getting him on television, was when Jerry Jarrett called me in 1993 and wanted me to put shows on TV and market so Jeff could become a promoter. And at the time, Jeff said, no, I don't want to. I want to be a star. And he didn't want to be a promoter. And they did a series of vignettes with Jackie Fargo. He was the fabulous Jeff Jarrett. It inevitably led to him being signed. His dad had already, and there's lots of stories and a lot of opinion on whether he was back and forth and how much control he had, but no one can deny that Jerry Jarrett has been around and involved in WWE, WWF business for years. Vince McMahon got his start as a manager in USWA and trained there with the Harts. So the reality is that Jerry Jarrett had a long presence. I had my first several contracts with WWE because of Jerry Jarrett. And my first introduction to Jeff was that he didn't want to be a promoter. So from then, spin forward, and my client AJ is hired. I'm hired. AJ had a much better deal. And and all of a sudden, AJ was, regardless of any limitations put on the spot at some points, he was, if not their top star, damn close. And no matter who they put in, they couldn't deny he was going to be in that spot. They could put him down a while, but he was going to be, and he remained the most decorated champion, all the other stuff. And, you know, Dixie may have been, and her family may have been the money, but Jeff was the guy that made that happen. The decision at the beginning that put the, you know, the shine on AJ was Jeff and his dad. And that's just the reality of it. So, you know, I doubt this will happen, but when I talked to Alan about it, I said, you know, you should offer that you'd induct him. It's certainly somebody else's history, but your career, who knows? You know, we turned down, or Alan turned down going to to WWE, to Heartland, and instead of taking 500 to going there, we did something else. And we went to WCW, and then there was another choice for WWF, and it was no again. TNA was a gamble, but Jeff made it a good idea. And his, you know, we didn't always get along, but at the same time, if Jeff hadn't opened that door and done all he did to keep that company going, who knows where everything would have ended up for me, for Alan, for a whole bunch of people. So in terms of the industry, Jeff deserves it. In terms of his time in WWE, undeniably, there's great historical moments in what he did while he was there. And yeah, controversy, but what's my point?
Yeah, no, that's true. You know, with regards to the show and WWE side of it, as long as the people who should be in a wrestling Hall of Fame, you know, end up here, I'm really kind of lenient over since it's their Hall of Fame, who they want to put in just to have their people in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think this one, there's not really a good argument. And at the same time, if you look at WWE as an industry beyond the narrow definition of the brand, while Jeff accomplished something outside of what they did, quite honestly, what he accomplished at TNA was integral and was very much involved in the evolution of WWE. That's our industry. And there was no competition for WWE for a period of time until Jeff provided it, because it had gone away.
No, there was not.
And without competition, you have no motivation to do better. You know, draw us back, you know, Eric Bischoff for, you know, good and bad. The one thing he did do is built WCW while the money lasted and the patience lasted to be better for a brief period of time than WWE, and it challenged WWE to rebrand themselves. So those things are invaluable. And Jeff and what he did leaving WWE and taking the chance. And also, you also factor in everything Jeff did in WCW, much as you would for Kevin Nash, for Hulk, for everybody that's already in the Hall of Fame.
Yep. Yes, very true. Okay, let's throw another name on the fire since I don't know if we've done enough damage yet. Ray the Crippler Stevens, not really a big WWE.
Holy shit,
WWF
I thought he was already in. He's really not in?
I will look again, but I don't think he's been added in the past minute or so.
Oh, my Lord. That one, I thought that for sure it happened. So that's just...
You would think.
No, that is a huge omission. God, you would think with Pat Patterson in that they would have gone for that a long time ago.
I would think so as well, but alas, that's not the case. Let's see. Yeah, I'm just making sure here.
Well, that's a no-brainer. I would in a heartbeat that should happen. I mean, unless somebody has heat, I don't know about, but that, you know, in terms of history and in terms of accomplishment, in terms of in-ring, my Lord, you can't deny that.
Yeah, 1996 when he passed away. It's hard to believe it was that long ago.
Yes.
22 years, yep. Okay, Ray the Crippler Stevens. All right, tell you what, we're at about the halfway point. When we come back, we'll delve into some more names, and maybe we'll start to actually rank some of these guys in terms of 1 to 7.
You haven't put Virgil in yet. Is Virgil in?
Wrestling superstar Virgil? No. He will definitely touch
maybe
on him.
Time. Maybe next time.
After this timeout.
Oh, and now for a word from someone. I forget. I think they sell paint.
As a PW Torch Livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership. Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch Livecast Saturday Morning Wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big-name interviews, guest analysts, including me, on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Have a blast listening to familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member.
And remember what the announcer said, it's pwtorch.com/govip.
Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
All right, making the list returns here on PW Torch Livecast. The number is 515-605-9345. Also, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. And definitely your entrance into the list, or you can do that via Twitter at RealPatMcNeil.
Goodbye.
Okay, we have a lot of people on the list of omissions from the WWE Hall of Fame. Bill, and this is an exciting time because we get to put together a list of the top seven at this point.
You can feel the electricity in the air.
Well, yeah, he said it. So, so we discussed wrestling superstar Virgil. Pretty much everyone from that era is going to go in at some point or another.
Well, let's hope not. But again, it's possible. Yes.
Yeah, it's
the Red Rooster.
Possible.
I would put in before Virgil. No disrespect to Virgil, but I like Terry.
That's true. Well, he might very well go in at some point.
He should. Terry Taylor is awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Former WWF champion Stan the Man Stasiak.
Ooh, excellent choice. Heart Punch.
Yeah.
That alone. Master. That alone, him and Ox Baker, Heart Punch.
Okay. That's one that will go down in the annals, I think. Legendary, well, I don't know about legendary, but matches with Bruno Sammartino and Pedro Morales and headlining the Garden.
He headlined for a good period of time. I mean, and at Madison Square Garden, no mean feat. No, he did a heck of a job for a period of time.
Okay.
And he had a kid in the business.
That's true. A kid who may not end up entering the WWE Hall of Fame.
Unless Meat gets an opportunity.
Well, you know. When meat meets opportunity, you never know what's going to happen.
You don't.
All right.
Do you have
anyone to throw in there, Bill?
No, I'm pretty good. Everybody else is sort of still that was on my list is sort of still out there. I mean, Vader, I guess. Vader's not in, is he?
No, he's not in.
Vader had a good run for a period of time. So
it'll happen.
I throw him in. But most of the other guys I have on my list are people that are still hovering around the business or are just recently out of there. You know, JBL would be an example of that. He certainly can be considered, but he's sort of still involved at some level at times. So
he's gonna go in. I mean, he's gonna go in when they have the right fit and they have a year with an opening. Really,
yeah.
I mean, it's not like he's blackballed or anything.
Well, I mean, those guys that you know are in line. You know, Taker, Rock at some point, Kane at some point. You know, even Bischoff.
That's true.
I guess Christian. Good. You could throw Christian because Edge's in.
Christian's going to be in at some point, I expect, yeah.
Yeah. William Regal?
I definitely expect William Regal, although I think I think it's going to be a few more years before he gets in.
Right. But, I mean, those are the other guys that were on my short list.
Okay. How about Professor How about Toru Tanaka?
Nicely done. I hadn't even thought about that. That's actually very, very good. Yeah. Extremely limited, but scary as crap.
Yeah, that's actually a very good way to describe him. Probably best known among WWF fans for being Mr. Fuji's tag team partner for many years and many title runs. In fact, AWA.
Yeah, he was one of the early guys that transcended the business also.
Yeah,
because he went mainstream at a level. That other guys didn't do. There was a limited few that went mainstream or got half-assed major. Freddie Blassie, people that got a little bit of mainstream back in the day, and he was one of those guys.
Yep, and obviously got to be in a lot of movies.
Yes.
Which is, you didn't always get wrestlers making that transition there. Let's see. I'm gonna have to look and see what he was in, but I didn't even look at the acting portion of his life. Okay, let me think of if there's anyone. Oh yeah. All right. One team that was a big part of WWF in the 80s, the North-South connection of Adrian Adonis and Dick Murdoch.
Wow. Interesting. I don't know. Is Adonis in on his own? I doubt it. Right.
I don't think he is, no.
On his own. Is Dickie in? Dick's in. Yeah, Dickie Murdoch's in, right?
I don't think so. I will check. But...
Oh, God. Well, both of them deserve it, and not for the team. But they don't both deserve it for their individual histories. I mean, I would have thought that Dickie was in just because of Dusty. But Adrian Adonis was tremendous and recreated himself, over years as he got bigger and bigger, and he could still work. He got huge, and he could still work.
Yes.
He was ridiculous.
And Dick Murdoch was working pretty much up until he died. So
best punch in the business at the time. I mean, there's probably somebody who throws a better one now. I don't know who it is. But, anybody who wants to learn how to throw a punch, if they can figure out what he did, go back and watch that. Otherwise, do what Dutch teaches, which is put yourself next to a wall and punch the wall. And if you don't hurt yourself and you still hit the wall, you're winning. So
that's.
But Dickie Murdoch could throw an amazing punch. Lawler throws a great punch. Which means anytime Lawler's hit someone, it's been real.
Yeah. So that's Lawler's already in the Hall of Fame. We don't really have to worry about him.
Comparing punches. That's all I was doing.
Right.
But Dickie Murdoch alone. The most atypical look of a wrestler. I mean, he just had the gut. But he was credible, and he bumped well.
That's true. In terms of
Adrian, quite honestly.
Yeah. In terms of talent, Dick Murdoch gets in. In terms of being woke, not so much, perhaps. let's see. Okay, so we're going to try to narrow this down to seven, I think. And I think for you and for a lot of people, Ray the Cripple.
Well, I have one question before we narrow this down.
Yes.
I want to shorten this slightly. Are any of the smaller athletes in the height-impaired athletes,
the
Lord Littlebrooks
dwarfs,
of the world?
The proportionate dwarfs. I don't believe so.
Well, I mean, at some level, the Sky Low Lows, the Lord Littlebrooks, at some point, someone from that tremendously talented group of folk deserves to be in.
Okay. I would
if Andre the Giant deserves to be in for gigantism, then the same should be true of, you know, someone that's small, that's that level of an athlete. And there were a Cowboy Lang. There were a lot of really talented guys.
I think, let's see, Sky Low Low is in the, he's in a couple of other Hall of Fames, but not in the WWE Hall of Fame. And that is,
I don't think they have any little people in the WWE Hall of Fame. Okay. Well, again, it just, no. I don't know. I don't know if that's that. I think it would be an interesting thought process because for a great period of time, particularly back in the day in New York, that was an integral part of the card.
Yeah. You definitely had to get the adorable proportionate dwarfs out there,
WWE in the present day has taken advantage of smaller athletes.
That's true. It's been a while since we've seen them on WWE television.
Yeah, but Hornswoggle had a hell of a run.
Well, Hornswoggle and El Torito, that was quite a feud.
Yeah, well, I mean, going on for as many years as some of the athletes were able to do. It's just a category of, more women should probably be in, more, and the alternative athletes that were in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Probably an angel can get in at some point, maybe a moondog. You never know.
That's true. It's amazing that the moondogs aren't in yet. Well, maybe it's not that amazing, but let's see. All right. How about this for a memorable induction speech? The Minnesota Wrecking Crew, Gene and Ole Anderson.
Oh, that would be awesome. Ole's not doing as well as he used to, but he still every once in a while he shows up at some stuff. Quick Ole Anderson story that this had nothing to do with this, but anyway, Ole Anderson one time ended up talking to me at a show, and he was joking around, and he said, if you don't watch it, I'm going to get you in a sugar hold. And I went, ha, ha, ha. Spin forward, I'm talking to New Jack on the phone, and I go, I was at a show, Ole Anderson said he was going to get me in a sugar hold, and there's dead silence at the end of the line, and New Jack goes, sugar hold. Sounds sort of gay. Anyway, moving on.
Well, okay. You know, I'm amazed those two didn't get along better. All right.
New Jack didn't know what a sugar hold was, bless his heart.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I don't imagine too many people put him in one, so it all...
I wouldn't. God knows.
No, I wouldn't try to... I don't think I'd try to mess with him. All right, so top seven. Let's see, we've... Ray the Crippler Stevens, Ivan Koloff. Yeah, somebody has to. Is it easier to start from number one or from number seven?
Oh, in terms of choices, I don't remember who we have at this point. You think I wrote all this stuff down? Come on, you're crazy now.
Okay.
You name two, both deserve to be in. I know they're both historical, but at the same time, I don't see any argument that would prevent both of those guys that you said.
Okay,
I would put them on the list for sure.
Those two, right? Those two will be part of the list of seven.
My gimme would be Lance Russell. If I was going to do a gimme, which is, give me one spot, I would say Lance Russell.
Okay, and I don't think anybody's going to argue too seriously with that. Let's see. Demolition, if they can go in as a team.
I think so.
And
because they don't have a faction yet on the list, I don't think.
Right. I mean, they could do it this year, but all the Dudleys are a faction, really.
Oh, that's true. Hadn't thought about it. My bad.
Yeah.
Except they're not interestingly. They're not doing the complete Dudley. They're doing the two. They're not adding the one extra one.
They're not adding Little Spike. They're not Big Dick would be going in posthumously. You don't have Chubby Dudley.
I'm just saying for WWE because Spike transcended.
I know.
Yeah,
that's true.
So in theory, he should be involved, sorta. But I think the Dudleys are just a go-to at this point.
Right. No, I have no problem with the Dudleys being in, really. So, let's see. Well, Kevin Dunn. I don't know if this.
Yeah,
is
I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. Unfortunately, although I think you know Jimmy deserves it at some point. I would not actually vote for Russo, Kevin Dunn, or Jimmy Cornette right now. I'll let that wait.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I would go for Lance Russell over Billy Apter, unfortunately, with apologies to Billy Apter.
Right. Okay. That's fine. Let's see. Okay, Leilani Kai.
Yes. From a women's standpoint, yes. Before China, I would actually do that, yes.
Okay. So really we're up to five, and that seems like a good point to take our final break of the program. So everybody gather your thoughts. We might even have some callers when we come back if we're lucky. This is Making the List here on PW Torch Livecast. Don't you go anywhere.
No matter what kind of wrestling fan you are, Ring Rust Radio is the perfect podcast for you. Every Wednesday night, Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest news in professional wrestling, including Raw, SmackDown, and WWE pay-per-view reviews. That isn't all, as Ring Rust Radio also delves into NXT, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, and New Japan to discuss the latest happenings in every major company. Ring Rust Radio conducts interviews with the biggest stars in the wrestling business as well, including Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, and many more. If you're looking for your wrestling fix with an entertaining twist, check out Ring Rust Radio every week on Blog Talk Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we have been making the list this hour here on PW Torch Livecast. I am Pat McNeil, PW Torch columnist. He is Bill Behrens, former NWA president, agent to the stars, and all-around good guy. The number is 515-605-9345. And, of course, you can reach us via email, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Tell you what, Bill, are you ready to take a phone call?
Of course.
I'm strongly suspect that this call is from Ryan from Cumberland. In any case, Ryan, Cumberland, Maryland, welcome to Making the List. Hello.
So I understand you're looking for some Hall of Fame candidates.
People who have not already been inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame. Yes, sir.
Okay, I would go with Psycho Sid, just because he's a two-time former world champion in both WCW and WWF, and also Lex Luger, because he's the only man to win the Royal Rumble and the only man to also win the Crockett Cup.
Hmm. Okay, and not be in.
We did not have Lex, and quite honestly hadn't thought about Lex. There's a great argument. Quite honestly, the WWE was built around Lex for at least a year. The Lex Express was a big investment right around the time of the XFL, if I remember right.
Well, it was before the XFL, but yeah that's no. He was a big investment. He was a major part of WrestleMania 10, and then they moved past him. They went with Bret Hart. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people thought that Lex Luger was going to be the guy. I mean, I know they wanted it to be that way. Psycho Sid, yeah, he definitely, former WWF, WCW champion, headlined WrestleMania twice, technically. I don't know that he's a stable genius, Bill, but he's somebody who probably I feel he's going to go in. I don't know if he's one of the top seven who need to be in right now.
Well, honestly, I would probably simply politically and emotionally, I would think Lex would probably be a much better choice prior to Sid, just from a present station and a redemption standpoint. Because Lex is doing so much better now and lived through an awful lot of tragedy that clearly was tied to the business at some level, unfortunately. So if you're going for a good sympathetic vote, and he has a lot of friends, he could be presented by Sting, which is always a big deal. So,
yes, it is.
You know, if you look at it from a bigger picture of the presentation and the show itself, that, you know, putting him in is good TV, if nothing else.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, he deserves to be in. Yes, I would agree with that. Okay, do you have any other thoughts here, Ryan?
How about the Honky Tonk Man?
He already turned it down in 2010.
Yeah, He's another guy who's going to be, I think, in at some point, though.
Only, you know, if he doesn't turn it down. But right now, in his own mind, he's created, you know, he was making some kind of point. You know, given he had a short, really good, but albeit limited run, and amazingly, and it speaks to him at some level, but to a much greater level with how much the product was over, you know, 83 to, I don't know what, 86, 87, you know, that period. It was just so over that what he did during that period of time is still relevant, which is amazing.
Yeah, because
he hasn't done anything that's historically relevant to the business since. Yeah, and that's disrespectful.
Well,
he's appeared on shows, but he hasn't done anything historically relevant. He hasn't appeared for any major company.
That's true. He hasn't. So, yeah, that's, I mean, that, yeah, that's a good point. Well, he was on Judge Jeanine, but I'm trying to...
You're stretching another definition. But in terms of the run and the spots he was in and the angles and where they led, you know, you can't deny the relevancy of that spot and the booking at that time as that he was part of. Honestly, he cut his career short. How much better he would have done, though, than the period it did is in question, too. I don't know if he could have done much more.
No, that's a good point. I think that, I think that he has to want to go in, but I know that they're gonna want to put him in at some point.
Yeah, there'll be a reason at some point. They'll probably need rights to something.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he's got his own trademark back, so we'll see how that goes.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Anything else there, Ryan?
Well, I have a question for Bill. I don't know if he knows the answer. Flux Express, was that mostly for the larger towns, or would they stop by, say, like at Cumberland, Maryland?
And honestly, back in the day, they did it with a bus.
they had
him on a freaking bus going town to town, so it was like an old presidential campaign, literally. They had them going everywhere. Now, yeah, they were primarily focusing on big towns, but they'd stop in between. It was like a whistle-stop deal.
I think the deal was if your town was big enough that it had a newspaper or a television station or somebody that would do an interview with them, that then they'd stop.
Yeah, but it's not like they're staying for an hour. It'd be like, you know, like a president coming in for a burger. It'd be that kind of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they legitimately did that, and it didn't work, possibly because maybe they thought it was working so well that they could take it, you know, they could take the chase longer than it needed to be.
Well, my memory is flawed about a lot of things, but this was also tied to at the time, people remember WWE being a successful business, but at the time it really had no advertising and it was primarily marketing its own product, and Lex was tied into the Geico Pro thing. So there was a big part of this whole thing was the marketing beyond Lex of the IcoPro product, and also he was tied into the bodybuilding league that had been started at that time.
Yes, the World Bodybuilding Federation.
So there were all these tangential, not-so-successful businesses tied to the one that was struggling a bit itself at the time, because WWE wasn't in its biggest run. It wasn't doing as bad as it did at another time, but it was still not in its greatest period. But Lex was tied to so many things and honestly just couldn't carry all those balls well, is the way I looked at it. Plus, there were some flaws. The bodybuilding thing just didn't catch hold. It had, you know, a lot less. It didn't have the flawed story of the football league where it could have been, if not for terrible luck. The bodybuilding thing just probably never could have been. IcoPro survived for a while as a nutrient thing, but it really, you know, it faded off too, and other people took over that spot very quickly. So, but that was the primary financing they were trying to do. They were trying to figure out a way to grow branches on their business tree, and Lex was tied to three things: the wrestling, the bodybuilding, and the IcoPro thing.
Yes, and only one of those lasted.
Yes, the one that always does. The actual business.
Much, much like today. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Ryan.
Okay. So you're saying that Cumberland probably wouldn't get Lex because they don't have a TV station, yet they have a newspaper.
Well,
it depends. No, yeah. You'd have to go back and look at the tour as to where they stopped. But the idea, the concept was very much grassroots in the way they did it. Again, remember, it's a bus.
Yeah.
They weren't flying in places. You know, in a bus, you go by a lot of stuff. So where they stopped was dependent on were they going to get some kind of response or get some kind of coverage. But that really didn't, you know, tune out a lot of small towns because that was the spot. It was town to town to town, and grassroots was the theory of it. You know, if you go back, WWE launched by taking over local television and expanding its roots by trying to get the local marketplace by hardballing it. But inevitably, you have to figure out a way to branch out and capture the heartland of America, particularly as you're growing your audience or sustaining your audience. So this was an idea. It wasn't necessarily a bad one. If John Cena were in the spot, or maybe even AJ today, who knows how much better it would work even today, bringing that kind of guy out. But they thought Lex was that guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture it today. The Roman Reigns Big Dog Express.
Yeah, see, that one wouldn't work. No, but again, but Cena, even though he's polarizing, Cena draws.
Yeah.
You know, if he shows up, he's going to draw.
He can do that.
And AJ is at that point now where it's more of a mainstream appeal. It's more of a heartland appeal to both of them, quite honestly. Although Cena's got a little bit more Hollywood on him now, which is nice, but there's still that different kind of feeling where and Lex sort of came off aloof, no matter how hard he tried not to.
Yeah, that's why he was always a better heel at the end of the day.
Yeah, but it's hard to be the man of the people if you don't like them.
That's true.
You know, I think there was, what was it, in History of the World, Mel Brooks goes, "My people, I love them. Pull!" Then he shoots the people as they're shot up in the air. Anyway.
Right. Got it. Okay, Ryan, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Ryan drops off.
Bye-bye.
And it opens up a line for you at 515-605-9345. Okay. So we've got six of these seven names that we need. Let's see. Trying to just need that seventh one. Let's see. Vader, King Kong Bundy, Sky Lolo, you know, somewhere. The answer is somewhere in there.
If you don't go for the novelty, which would be the genre they didn't go to, Bundy's certainly arguable. God knows he can't have any really that bad heat at this point.
You wouldn't think so. Yeah. All right.
And I'm sure somebody will lay down for a five count.
I think there'll be a line of volunteers to do that. Because wins and losses don't matter anymore, Bill.
They don't.
No. Okay, I would. Yeah, I'm ready to make the case for Sky Lolo. I didn't even consider him. So.
If you were going to pick them, I just think that's not a bad genre to celebrate.
No, it's not.
It is a very big part of our business. At some very real level, there was an awful lot of wrestling cards. You know, wrestling is looked back on very often on in terms of its reality. But if there wasn't a sideshow at a lot of the shows, it wouldn't have drawn for the reality. That you had to have something to bring the kids and to you know make people laugh because you just can't beat the crap out of people all night and get that over as well if you don't have some amount of levity. There has to be show business. Wrestling's always been a three-ring circus, but you got to bring it all. You just can't have lions and tigers and bears.
That's true. No, it's a variety show.
Yeah.
Properly done.
Yeah.
It's not like you can put one match out there for 2 hours and expect, never mind.
I mean, this is all theory stuff, but we talked today and then we poo-poo at some level the high flyers and people like that. My favorite wrestlers when I first started watching were, Argentina Apollo was one of my favorite wrestlers, for example.
Right.
He would take people down by doing a cartwheel. You know, and grab their foot as he went over and take the person down, or did head scissors. Adrian Street worked very flamboyantly during his period of time, and it was very compelling. And the stuff now that you see other people do, the finger cracking stuff he was doing. You know, there's a lot of stuff that is used today that other people are calling their own that really does date back to the characters. But a lot of the characters had to come up with some really unique stuff.
Yes, that's very true. I think with the high flyers, though, you know, part of, you know, guys that would have been considered high flyers, it's considered more mainstream. I mean, AJ Styles would at many times have been considered a high flyer. So would Seth Rollins. I mean, you can be a top guy and be athletic and move around.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's definitely the amount people leave their feet in terms of leaving the ring or utilizing the ropes to do that has escalated tremendously. But, you know, Vern Gagne was one of the first guys throwing a drop kick, which was a big deal at the time. You know, holy shit, look at him, he left his feet. So that spectacle aspect of it, the side that got beyond just, you know, grabbing a hold, there always, even with the most traditional people, there always was the sizzle aspect of the business. It just, the sizzle was different because you didn't need as much.
Right. Yeah, that takes a little more to hold our attention, I think, perhaps in this modern era.
Yeah. Yeah, and with some of the guys, you get a lot of leg slapping, and that helps.
Yeah, that's true.
Because,
right,
you know, the more you kick, it sounds more and more like slapping every time you do it.
Hmm.
Or not.
Funny how that works. All right, so I'm gonna pencil Sky Low Lowy here at number 7. Let's see. What do you feel about where do you feel Lance Russell goes on this list?
I like Lance. I'd vote for Lance in a heartbeat. Definitely deserves
it.
Again, he's part of the triad. Now, at least from my perspective, other people may have had historical relevancy, but
right.
You know,
okay,
in terms of greatness in our business, that you know, he's the guy that's not in.
So I'm trying to take this home. So let's say Lance Russell at number 5, and maybe Luger at number 6 because of there's some controversy.
From the business standpoint, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And sympathetically, yes.
Right. All right. Leilani Kai, maybe number 4. Let's see here. Number 3, why not Axon Smash of Demolition?
Yes, I like that.
3A and 3B, and then I guess...
you can even put Ivan Crush in there. I don't mind.
Absolutely. Doesn't bother me one bit. Ivan Koloff, 2, and Ray the Crippler Stevens in at number 1.
Very much so, yes. Can't believe he's not in.
It's amazing. We've compiled a list in only 61 minutes. It's
it sounds almost like a show.
Yes, it does. It does very much. Speaking of shows, I know that we have some indie promoters and other people who listen to this program. So if they want to take advantage of the incredible array of talent that Bill Behrens has access to at SBI Bookings, how do they do that, sir?
Contact me at showbiz with an S at the end, SHOWB as in boy, IS as in Sam at AOL.com, or the website you were nice enough to mention several times, SBIBookings.com. And, I got lots of folk. There's a list there. Billy Gunn and the Mecha Wolf, Mr. 450, were announced today as new people I'm helping. And two kids I'm helping that are heading to MCW for the first time, Griff Garrison and Marcus Cross, who just did a Future of Honor match for Ring of Honor and are doing really well.
Great.
They just did the Wildcat show that Luke Hawks had in Atlanta.
Ah. I heard they're going to WrestleMania, the Wildcat.
Luke Hawks doing a wonderful job. His son, Perry, PJ Hawks, did not debut at the arena, but it was his third match. Won the match with a big leg drop, like a Billy Gunn kind of thing, but much more elevation. But a very entertaining match. Stevie Richards teaming with Luke Hawks, the former altar boy Luke, and his son. It was pretty cool to be there for that. Luke Hawks came to me after XPW, pretty much didn't buy him a ticket for the last show, and Wildside helped get him back to doing something as altar boy Luke, and he did TNA stuff, did WWE stuff, went back to New Orleans, lived through a bunch of hurricanes, started his wrestling school, stunt work, acting. Watch the beginning of the Logan movie, and you'll see claws go through his head. He's a talented young man, and his son is going to be a star. His son is a big SOB. He's 6-something, putting body weight on. Third, I think it was in his county or state in amateur wrestling. He's just ridiculous. Yeah. He had a 3/4 Nelson leg grapevine finish. It reminded me of Tim Woods. It was just freaking awesome.
Okay, and Bill has already promised us folks that when he gets inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, he will give us the first interview.
I will do that.
That's,
yes,
that's very,
and we'll
that's
get
very
one
special.
And we'll get one caller. So.
Exactly. All right, Bill, thank you very much and for being on Making the List, and we're definitely going to do this again.
Great. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And thanks to all of you who tuned in and to Ryan for calling. Don't forget, we do this every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on PW Torch Livecast. And a lot more shows to come up tomorrow. There's an NXT post-game show right here on PW Torch Livecast, and you'll want to check that out. And speaking of things you'll want to check out, the VIP service here at pwtorch.com is absolutely divine. And to explain how that works and how you can get involved, why don't you take a moment and listen to our friendly announcer go over it. And thank you very much again for making us part of your afternoon.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and Sure Dog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Cover Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the Ask the Editor format of the Weight Cover Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Past Show with scouting reports on prospects, and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.
Another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.